Welcome to Wild, Women in Lending Determined to Make an Impact. I'm your host, Robin Lavasser. They say our biggest fear isn't being inadequate. It's being powerful beyond measure. In this podcast, I will share how to break through imaginary ceilings, lean into success, discovering your purpose, and understanding how to create the business and life of your dreams. From failures to triumphs and all the tactics in between, let's jump into the wild arena together. Welcome to Wild. I'm your host, Robin Lavasser, and I'm so excited for episode one. I want to take you back for a minute to 1997. I was actually born and raised in a very small town and met what is my now husband of almost 25 years in 1997. And he essentially said, I don't want to live in that small town, so you got to come where I'm at. And that's what I did. I moved to Eugene, Oregon, and started at a temporary receptionist job at a mortgage company. It was actually a mortgage broker, and I'll never forget day one. And these are banker days, you guys. So if you can imagine, depending on what age group you are in, wearing nylons and pumps and like very, I call them JCPenney power suit days, ready to essentially be women in business. So I sat down and I started answering the phones just as the script told me to answer, not even really understanding what mortgage is. And I actually love that about lending. I love that so many people have gotten into lending by default, by fluke. Most people don't grow up and say, one day I'm going to be a mortgage lender. I don't know about you guys, but I literally grew up saying I am going to be on Star Search. So I really thought that I was going to win a singing competition. Let's just say I'm better at loans. As I started answering the phone at this job, I watched the three women. So there was three women. They were processors. And I watched them work on files and answer the phone and take care of clients and call for information. And there was actually a line at the door, I'm not joking, of our shop because rates had just gone from the tens into the sevens and people were going bananas over refinancing. And so people were literally, these are no technology days, my friends. So you're talking people lined up at a door, filling out an application, a 1003 URLA, if you will, on a clipboard. And as they're filling this out, they're handing it in to us with all of their documents. And it took about 60 days back then to close a home loan. Why did I fall in love with lending that day? Well, I'll tell you why. A woman came into the parking lot and you knew instantly by the buzz in the office that that was the owner. She was in her early 30s, a JCPenney power suit for sure, Lady Diana haircut, pearl necklace, and she had like three pagers on her hip and a huge car phone and was literally just a sight to be had, if you will. She had this presence about her, this ability to greet people, but also exude how busy she was, if you will. Also was so incredible at problem solving. One of my favorite things about her, the way that she problem solved, the way that she just, you know, those people that are like polarizing in a room in a good way that you just immediately know, oh, they're here. That's what she was. And I was immediately taken. My eyes were wide open. I knew that day that lending was what I was meant to do. I don't know if all of us ended up with that kind of drop the bomb calling into lending, but that was my moment that I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn this business. And there's something about it that I immediately gravitated in. I say all the time, and this is a great just reference and check for yourself. Life is too short to not love what you do. And for some reason for me, lending, I knew was going to be my vessel through life to make an impact on other people. I knew even at 19 years old. Maybe that hit you later on in life. Maybe it hit you from day one. It's all of us have a different journey in it, but I do believe in my heart of hearts that you should feel very passionate and purposeful in what you're doing and ultimately excited to be part of it. And so ironically, yes, even in today's market, you guys, I have been excited about being in lending. I have enjoyed and been passionate about what we get to create. So I get to work. I become receptionist extraordinaire, in my opinion. I then became my boss's personal assistant, and she quickly merged me into becoming a marketing rep for her. And you're talking marketing rep, like such fun training. I literally dropped off for sale by owner packets all weekend long to everybody in the county that was doing a for sale by owner in hopes that we could capture those leads and hand them off to real estate agents. So we were doing every strategy on the planet to grow and build a business. There were two men that worked at this company as loan officers and one woman, and then three women processors and myself. Small mom and pop shop, if you will. So I got to learn and listen from some amazing, amazing human beings. And little by little by little, I knew I wanted to be a processor. And one of the things, and I'll just give you this lesson for a minute, that dawned on me during this, you know, very young start into lending was that you will never get what you don't ask for. And so everything in my career has come from, and hindsight has let me reflect on this, I was leaning in at a very early age saying, teach me that. Show me that. I want to be that. This is my next step. And I was very frequently doing a job before I was given the title, meaning I was willing to take on all the work and do that before I actually had the title. And that has served me very well. And I think that sometimes, especially women, have a habit of waiting. We have this habit of waiting for someone to say, I need this from you, before we say, I want this for me. And I think that's one of the biggest keys that I have gotten better at over time, that if you could write down one thing from today's first episode and say, hey, this is something I'm going to work on, it's that I am going to absolutely be okay with wanting something from me versus somebody needing it at that moment and then stepping into that role. So I go to work, I become a processor, I end up being the lead processor, and my boss was somebody that worked sunup to sundown. And so if you've ever been given that example, working sunup to sundown is starting at 5 a.m. sometimes and ending at 8 o'clock at night. And so my idea, things are caught, not taught, as Mr. Ed Milette would say, my idea was the only way to do a great business in lending, I was catching that, hey, you just had to work crazy hours. Now, at the time, I'm not married and I don't have children. So this start for me was literally doing it for two reasons. One, I love to learn, be connected, help people and solve problems, and lending offers all of that. The other was I just needed the money. So let's just be very direct about that. We were young and broke and I needed the money. And I promise you this is going somewhere into why this has to do with Wild. So I work sun up, sundown, right alongside my mentor and boss, and who had become a great friend to me. And my husband and I become husband and wife in 1999. And about 4 weeks after my honeymoon, I come home and realize that I am pregnant and scared, still broke, still figuring everything out in life. And we had had a plan in our minds. I vividly remember sitting on an airplane with my husband and him saying to me, hey, I love that you love work. I love that you love your boss. I love that you love, you know, everything about this. I'm worried about your balance. Like, you work a lot and you know that's not going to work when we have a family. But we laughed and said, hey, a family is 5 years from now. Well, about 4 weeks later, we were getting ready to start the family. The very first person that I told was my boss. And I'll never forget, she had told me a story that when she was in labor with her one and only son, that the doctors had to tell her to put down the phone, because she was still wanting to take a loan application in the midst of pushing a baby out. Now, at the time, I thought that was powerful. I realized through the years that this is one of the things that women have really struggled with, is if I'm going to have a really successful career, if I'm going to become the boss, I have to then trade being an amazing mom or an amazing wife, those kind of things. So I come from home from my honeymoon and find out about 4 weeks later that I'm pregnant. My boss is the very first person that I told. And as I walked into her office and said, hey, can I bug you for a second? She said, sure. She called me Robbie. Sure, Robbie, what's up? And I said, I'm pregnant, literally whispering. And I don't know why, but it was, you know, it's one of those that you're like excited but scared for someone's reaction. And all of a sudden, she put her pen down, and I'll never forget, it was like this huge exhale that was a disappointed sigh. And she said, these are her words, not mine, Jesus, Robbie, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to take a birth control pill. You just ruined everything. And these were not HR days, and I will tell you that I still have a ton of respect and admiration for that boss. That's a separate story. But in that moment, I believed her. I believed that I had just ruined everything. Now, the other part of me was mad and frustrated and wanted to, you know, fight back. but there was a piece of me that thought you couldn't be a wife and a mother, especially a young one, and be incredible at lending. Because what I had been taught in that moment was the only way to be incredible at lending was to outwork everybody else all the time with hours, meaning your time specifically invested in the business. And what I have found over the years is so many women have had that same thought. And that's one of the ceilings we've already placed on ourselves, right? I can't do more loans or lean in even further to my business without sacrificing being a good mom or being a good wife or being a good friend or taking care of my own body. Whatever it is, there are so many things that we tell ourselves are impossible that are actually very much possible, but we have framed them or put a ceiling on them that says, nope, this is what we've got to believe. And so in that moment, I actually believed it for a split second. Now, you could say that she and I parted ways, and you fast forward, and I'll take you on a quick forward journey. I went home, had a healthy baby boy, went back to work for another top producer. And this top producer was awesome because he literally did loans on a napkin and then would hand them to me on Monday morning and let me do everything, which was my first training into being a loan officer. So whether you just got in the business or you've been in the business forever, this was my great boots on the ground, unknowing that I was actually training to be a loan officer. And I was a loan officer, just not officially by title in that moment. I got pregnant again a couple years later. So at this point, my son is 2. My husband and I've been married for 3 years, and we find out 14 weeks in that we are having natural triplets. So 1 in 900,000 women can get pregnant, I believe is the statistic, with natural triplets, especially at a young age. I was 24, and here I am. I get to have those babies. So very exciting, actually, very scary. As you can imagine, I didn't stay working at that moment. I went home, and about 10 weeks after the kids were born, healthy, home, everything was good, I knew that a piece of me needed my identity back as Robin. And I just want to say out loud for a moment that I have so much admiration for whatever role anybody, male or female, chooses in their life that truly makes them happy, that makes them feel purposeful and passionate and living the life, if you will, of their dreams. I love that for anyone. My life needed to have the identity of Robin. And the identity of Robin for me was a huge part of also lending, right? Being in loans. So when I went back to work for a couple years after the triplets were born, I knew that something was missing. And my husband said, it's time. It's time to jump off that ledge and be a loan officer. And I thought, you're crazy. How in the world would I ever become this mom of 4 kids and 100% commission sales? I didn't even like the word sales. So I'm sure some of you can relate to that. But I did it. I jumped off the cliff and I started on the journey of being a loan officer. And what I did was I started on a roller coaster. And many of you, I think, are probably on that roller coaster now. And some of you have already figured out how to get off. And what I will tell you is that I thought the roller coaster was the journey. I thought it was required, meaning that, hey, I'm a loan officer, which means I make my own hours. Technically, I get to do exactly what I, quote unquote, want to do. And we're really left alone, meaning that, gosh, you chose to be 100% commission and it's your job to sink or swim. And so that's what I did every single day. I showed up to the office and I did whatever work I thought was necessary to have loans show up. And they did. They came in often enough and frequent enough that I was making a decent living. And so some of the key things just to give you, and I really wanted this first episode to be a little bit of my background and the journey, because I feel like there are so many people that can relate to this journey, even if you just got into the business or if you've been in it for a very long time. Let me give you the good and the bad of my first couple of years in the business. The good news was I was making over $100,000 on a W-2. And that is a lot of money. And to this day, I truly believe that that's a lot of money. And I felt in that moment like I had arrived. The bad news was it came with major inconsistencies. And so for every good month I had, I was making up for bad months that I had had previously. Every single year, my first 6 years of being a loan officer, I actually rolled a zero, at least one month where I closed nothing. And what was interesting about that is that it is just as hard financially and maybe even harder emotionally to recover from a zero, to believe in yourself, to keep going, to decide that you can make it. that you actually have the ability to be successful when that zero is hanging over your head. And so that was a huge battle for me back then. And candidly, there weren't a lot of outlets to share that with because it was embarrassing and you didn't really want to talk about it. And because everyone was so busy at the time, I was still at mom and pop, like small broker firms, and everybody was so busy running their own race that nobody was really paying attention to what you did, whether it was like your best month ever or you were falling flat on your face. There wasn't a whole lot of discussing the results. We would essentially just be coworkers with good to see you today and how are you and those things. And so as I was riding that roller coaster, I realized at the exact same time that John and I were financially illiterate, if you will. And I know that sounds crazy after being in lending for already at that point, shoot, it had been a little over 10 years that I had been in lending. And literally, we didn't understand saving versus earning money. And we didn't understand how to control our finances. And what I realize now in business, and so this is a girlfriend of mine said this to me. She's actually a loan officer that works with us. And she said to me, and this has stuck with me really big this year, if you want to win once, you set a goal. If you want to win over and over again, you set a plan. And I will tell you, for those first, basically from 2004 to 2010 as a loan officer, I didn't have a plan. I had goals, but I never had a plan. I didn't know how I was going to achieve them, right? I just knew the end result I wanted, but I had never mapped out what it would take to get there. And so that's what really created the roller coaster that I was riding on, in addition to the ceilings that I placed on my head. And that was, gosh, when I was doing 5-6 units in a month, I was working an ungodly amount of hours, and my guilt of being a mom and being a wife and the pressure of all of it was essentially something that I wasn't breaking through. And so every time I'd have a big month, I would follow it by a small month to make up for all the time that I had spent closing out my first pipeline, right? And so I think a lot of us ride that roller coaster again to this day. And I think that part of that is not having a proper plan. The other part of it is not having proper mentors or people surrounding you, an accountability partner. If you think about it, like, I don't love the gym, but I go to the gym when my husband goes with me and when the trainer is going to be there. Why? Not for me, if I'm being honest. I really go out of the accountability to them that I said I would be there. And so one of the things that often this industry lacks is true accountability. And so that was something that I needed to lean into: the plan, the accountability, the people that surrounded me, and ultimately paying attention to people that I could emulate, copy, if you will, and I will be very bold and say even copycat, people who were doing it smarter and better than I was able to do it. And realizing, hey, even if they're not a mom, even if they don't have 5 children, my husband and I adopted his nephew, so we then had 5 children. Even if they don't have 5 children, even if they're unmarried, none of it matters. If they're doing more loans in less time than I'm doing it, why wouldn't I want to learn from them? So getting you off the roller coaster is going to be an additional episode. I want to wrap up my journey and why I'm so passionate about Wild in this episode so that you know what to expect on the episodes to come. I actually joined a private mortgage bank, and I'll just say this podcast is never going to be about the company that I work for, but I'll tell you, I work for Summit Funding currently. And as I found Summit Funding in 2010, and you have moments in life when somebody sees something in you that maybe you don't see in yourself. And that is like shining a light in a place that you didn't know light needed to be shined. My husband did a beautiful job of that the day that he told me to jump into being a loan officer. He believed in me 10 times more than I think I would ever have believed in myself. When I met with Summit Funding, I met with the owner and Todd, who is now been a mentor of mine for 13 years. We sat at a dinner, a group of loan officers, and we were all frustrated with brokering. We were all frustrated with the current industry. And this is the time, you guys, if you've been in the business for a while, when 2007, 8, and 9 kind of crashed the world economy and everything was getting shifted into compliance and regulation and lots of new rules, and people just didn't navigate it very well. And a ton of people at the time were leaving the broker world, which was the second most common. You were either at a big bank or in the broker world and heading into private mortgage banking. And so I didn't even really understand what private mortgage banks were, but they were really becoming a thing in 2010. I met with Summit. I happen to, and I call it kismet, have dinner with Todd Scrima with three other loan officers at the same time. And that night, that dinner changed my life. And I will never forget Todd having this kind of smirk on his face, as I could tell he did with every single one of us, and had, again, those tens over our head. And he said, "You just haven't ever been shown another way." And it was kind of his way of saying, "You're doing it wrong and you don't even know it." And I loved that. I loved that, like, wait a minute, my curiosity kicked in and thought, what if? What if there's another way to do this where you can do more loans? And I will give you the most common excuse for every single one of us. I can't do more because I don't want to work more hours and I'm already working too much. That's our most common that I hear all the time, that I said all the time, that I believed all the time. And Todd immediately just kind of looked at me and thought, I'm going to challenge that. And you're going to prove it to yourself that that's not the truth. And I loved that so much. I went from doing 52 units in a year to literally doing 681 during Mortgage Disneyland. So that was COVID world. But pre-COVID, I was doing 400 plus units. I never, ever had a number in mind, if you will, until I started getting a little more competitive with everything. I didn't actually say, this is the exact number that I want to do in loans, and it's about the units. That's never been me. But I will tell you that I am competitive enough that I started to recognize, wait a minute, if I can do an infinite amount of loans technically in 45 or so hours a week, I can become the one. And the one is something that my podcast mentor, Mr. Ed Milet, who I just think is brilliant, literally says and talks about all the time. And the one is the one that chooses to change the trajectory of their family. The one is the one that chooses to change the trajectory of their own life and to believe that anything is possible. And there's always a way, with everything from hard work and discipline to just infinite curiosity and willingness to fail forward, that you can achieve anything that you technically want to achieve. And I really started, the start of that journey for me was in 2010. I'm now the executive vice president of sales. I run the biggest branch in the organization. And my heart has been to pay forward the journey of removing every ceiling, every excuse, and leaning into being powerful beyond measure and using lending as a vessel to not only change the trajectory of my own life, but also hopefully make a massive impact on many others. And that's what I hope to do in this podcast. I hope to give you everything from the simple tactics that I learned on calendar and time management and how to just run a structured day, all the way to how to master your own mindset and heart set, because those things matter so much in how you feel and what you think is not only possible, but also in achieving great results. And I think that at the end of the day, I hope that my perspective is one that I can share with you and it's relatable. Because if this small town from Oregon girl can go from a temporary receptionist with, you know, no real plan in sight to an EVP of sales, but more importantly, genuinely happy and fulfilled every single day with not only the career that I get to be in, but the life that I get to live outside of lending and how those all blend so beautifully together. And so I'm excited about the journey. I'm excited about sharing this with all of you. I'm not going to lie, I get a little nervous about the whole thing. Like, who's going to want to listen to that? But that's another episode, right? Imposter syndrome and why we think maybe we're not worthy of what we get to share. And I will tell you that every single one of us are worthy of being wild, right? Of being women in lending determined to make an impact. And while that's not our only identity, it's one that we can grab hold of and make a difference to other people every single day. So I hope you join me on episode 2, and thank you for joining me today.